Man, if you build your house on the rock, you'll always stand. What's the rock?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. What is Jesus Christ? The truth. Come on now. Some play that song you were doing earlier. I'm going to tell it anyway. We've been talking all this week about not being ignorant in the gifts of the Lord. Amen. And we've had a lot to say, and we've got a little bit more to say. But when Richter sang a song, they could wait upon the Lord. Lord, give me a vision on that one time. And I've shared it with most of these people. Some of you haven't heard it, so I'm going to give it to you. I had a vision one time from the Lord on waiting on the Lord. Because, you know, my idea of waiting on the Lord was, anytime, Lord. Amen? I remember a little church came, we had a mission down in Florida. I'll get around to the story in a minute. We had a little mission down in Florida, the Fisherman Ministries down there. And we had a chapel. It was, we thought at the time, a little chapel was about three times bigger than this right here. And we had a lot of people come in. But this one black church used to come in there and use it every Sunday. And we enjoyed it. They had good music and everything. And one time they had a waiting on the Lord meeting, a tarry meeting. And they said, we're going to have a tarry meeting. I said, what's a tarry meeting? And they said, that's where you come and wait on the Lord. And they had a bunch of people there, and they sang, and they praised the Lord, and all that was good. But there's some people that wanted baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, that's when I found out what waiting on the Lord was for them, or tarrying. And these poor people would pray and pray and pray and pray, and time had passed, time had passed, time had passed. And finally, this big, heavy-set black woman, she was playing the bass drum. She come over and started beating on some of these poor folks, and I tell you, I'd faint. If I had 350 pounds beating on my back saying praise the Lord, I'd say praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Say it faster, I'd say it faster. Anything, get her off my back. I mean, this went on for an hour, hour and a half. And finally, they gave up. And they went up to the front, you know, the pastor finished up and invited me to come up and speak. And I said, all those folks out there wanting baptism of the Holy Spirit, just come up here and stand right here. And they came and stood up there. I said, raise your hands. And I said, raise your hands, and when I pray for you, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And I pray for them too. They all receive the Holy Spirit. Just like that. From the door. Preacher asked me, he said, how could you do that? We've been waiting on the Lord. You get up there, the Lord moves right away. I said, because you don't understand what it means to wait on the Lord. You see, you think waiting on the Lord means sit on your backside and wait. But waiting on the Lord means to serve Him. If you go into a restaurant and the waiter in there is sitting over on the side and doesn't pay attention to you, don't you get a little upset? Have you ever noticed most restaurants, waiters and waitresses are trained not to see you? You ever notice that? You'll be sitting there and they'll look right past you and go right on about your business. They're trained not to see you. And sometimes the Lord feels that way about us. We train ourselves not to see Him or pay attention to Him. Well, in this vision that I had, there was this king, and he sat on a throne, and there were two big guards at the door, and there was a little guy up there by the king, and the king said, bring me a man who will wait on me. When the decree went up, the little man left the place and came back, and there was some guy in tow. Brought him before the king said, will you wait on me? He said, yeah, Lord, I'll wait on you. And he looked around, and he saw this bench, and he went and sat down. Time passed. The king called his soldiers and told them to take him and throw him in prison. I thought to myself, I didn't seem too fair. So the king made another decree, bring me a man that will wait on me. So I sent out another. Sent him out again, he'd come back with another man. Father told the king, king said, would you wait on me? Yea, Lord, I'll wait on you. He looked around, spied the bench, went and sat down. Same thing happened to that man, it happened to the other man. Finally, the Lord said, send me a man to wait on me. And one came in. The Lord said, would you wait on me? And he said, yeah, I'll wait on you. And he looked around, he saw the bench, but then he kept looking around, and he saw a broom under the corner. And he went and got the broom, started sweeping the floor. Time passed. And then the king called him forth and had him come forth and put a robe on him and a ring on him and said he did well. So he was looking at somebody who would serve him. That's what God wants. And when we were talking Sunday and Monday about the armor of God, the undergarments of God, we're talking about the gifts of God. It's all part, it's there to serve God. And when you wait on the Lord as a waiter, amen? When you wait on the Lord as a waiter, you renew your strength. Your restraint is constantly and daily renewed. You mount up with wings as as eagles. And see, a lot of people don't understand what that means either. When a storm comes, the eagles build their nest in high places. And when a storm comes, that eagle gets up on the edge of that nest waiting for that wind to come. And then he leans into that wind and he cocks his wings back and locks them in place. And when that wind hits him, he dives right into it. And with his wings locked in place, it shoots him up above the air currents. And he can ride above the storm. That's what it means to mount up on wings as eagles. When the trouble comes, when the hard time comes, you don't turn your back to it. You turn your front to it. You lock your wings and you dive right into the middle of it, putting your faith in Jesus Christ and in the Father, and you overcome it. You overcome it. You don't hide from it. That's what all this stuff is for right here. Amen. Lord, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. All right, turn to your Bibles. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. See how much we get done tonight. Amen. It is warm in here today. Hallelujah. All right. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I would not have you ignorant. We've studied that all week long, amen?
Amen.
Getting tired of hearing it?
No.
Good. All right, I'm going to go back to this again for a minute. What did we say before? The last shall be first, the first shall be last. For those without ears to hear and without understanding to perceive and to understand, without eyes to perceive and understand, I guess that's the way I want to put it, they're going to put the gifts first. We talked about how the tares follow the gifts. But for those with understanding, remember, the last is first, and the first last. Therefore, God the Father is first.
Amen.
Also, none of this works without the Father's direction.
Amen.
None of it. So it's the Father's direction through Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. Now, before I go any further, I want you to turn to John for chapter 4 for a minute. I want to show you something interesting. Gospel of John, chapter 4. Everybody there? You're probably familiar with this story about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman that Jesus came to and said, "Woman, give me water." I'm not going to go into all detail on this story because a lot of it's interesting and I could get into it and preach on it and everything else, but it would take away the time that we're here for. But let's move down. You read it on your own pace there. Let's move down to verse 21. Now remember, she had just finished asking Jesus, you know, our fathers say we're the mountain, worship the Lord out over here in the mountain. And you Jews say in Jerusalem, tell me which one is which. Look at what Jesus says down here in verse 21. Woman, believe me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in the mountain, in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Now what did he say? The hour cometh. The hour will come when you will not worship gifts in this mountain, or what? Am I reading it right? Am I saying it right? Did I mess up? Huh? All right. Believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship who?
The Father.
The Father. God the Father. See number three here? God the Father. Now watch this next part. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Is that what it says? God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now look back up here at the board. God the Father, who is in charge of the diversities of operations, thank you, is a spirit. He's a spirit being. He is not a natural man like you and so does. He's a spirit being, amen? God is spirit. And if you're going to worship God the Father, then it's got to be, how?
Spirit
and truth.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
All three. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the gifts but by me."
No.
Huh?
No.
I messed up?
Yes, you did.
"I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man speaks in tongues but by me."
No.
We try that again. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man heals the sick but by me."
No.
You beginning to get the picture? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Very important word, by. By Jesus. I got here in a car. Got here in a car. I get there in Jesus. We studied about the armor. Amen? And now, you can't be in the armor unless you're in Christ. Amen? God, the Father, has given His Son armor. We get in that armor. In Jesus. We're hid in Jesus. Amen? We're baptized into Jesus. Amen? How do we come to the Father? By Jesus. He takes us there. What's that topic? Alright? So, I want to be particularly careful that you understand these things. I may labor on it a little bit, I may work on it, I may repeat, I may do all kinds of things, but it's important. It's very, very, very important that you understand how all of this works. The other night we talked about the three baptisms. I was debating on whether to say anything about this tonight, because the Lord kind of got on my case a little bit. I mean, I wasn't wrong, but it wasn't what He wanted me to say. The other night we talked about the three baptisms. Baptism of blood, baptism of water, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We said the Father, or I said the Father, is the baptizer of blood. He gave Jesus. For Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And then I said, is the minister baptizes in water. Well, that's true, but it's not what the Lord wanted me to say. So I'm going to come up here and I'm going to correct that. The Holy Spirit is the baptizer in water. Because the Holy Spirit in the minister is what baptizes you into the body of Christ. That's right. Planted together in the likeness. So, the three, God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit working together, all subject to what? The Father. None of Jesus does nothing without the Father telling Him what to do. The Holy Spirit does nothing without the Father telling you what to do. We talked about being drawn to salvation. The Holy Spirit draws you to salvation. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to believe, but it's the Father that tells Him to do it. Amen? So here in John, he's saying, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's these three right here. Now you can go to church and not do that. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people in churches around the world today that don't do this. The other thing I want to bring up, it was asked to me after the meeting the other night, and I talked about it, and I thought it was a good question, it was worthy of talking about. These gifts here are to the church. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And we haven't even finished the list yet. There's more to the list. These are gifts to the church body. These are not gifts to the ministers. The ministers also get gifts, and they get these gifts. But this is speaking of to the church body. Amen? And when it came down here, when I read here about severally, it means singularly, individually, to each individual person. It's talking about in the church. One gift given to this one gift given to that one, another gift given to that one. Now ministers, on the other hand, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, can hold more than one of these. We're not talking about them right now. We're talking of gifts to the church. You see, people get running ahead of themselves. They begin to think, well, what about this? What about that? Well, if you stick to what we're talking about, then you don't get into those other areas and end up messing up. It's when you get into those what ifs that you get in trouble. Amen? Alright. So we're talking the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of God, to the church body. Now, verse 12. whereas the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. I remember years and years and years ago, I was in prayer. And as I was in prayer, I said, Lord, show me the church. Show me the church. And I didn't get to see what I thought I was going to see. I thought I was going to see some glorious church. In fact, to be honest with you, back then, I thought I was going to see some gorgeous, glorious bride. See, I was brought up in that teaching, the church is the bride of Christ. The church is not the bride of Christ. Never has been, never will be. The church is the body of Christ. The bride of Christ is New Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I prayed, Lord, show me the church. And the Lord showed me a body that was dismembered, hands and arms and legs chopped off, spread to the four winds, head cut off, fingers cut off, toes cut off, all chopped up in little pieces. And it shocked me. I never expected to see that. But he showed me that's the condition of the church. Why? It's the condition of the church because they haven't gotten these things right. Idolatry. Idolatry in the church. Remember verse 2? You know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols even as you were led. Well, they were carried away in idols before they became Christians, and they made the things of God idols after they became Christians. And what happens when churches do that? There's division. Everybody vying for their place, their importance. Everybody wanting their due reward and honor from everybody else. This isn't how the church of God is supposed to be run. Amen? Alright. But this is the way it's supposed to be. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Christ is one body. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. What did Jesus say over John 4? He asked me for water, and you will drink living water, and you'll never thirst again. Alright. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Huh? No. The foot's different than the hand. Does it look like the hand? Right? It's not in the same position in the body as the hand. The hand's on the end of an arm, the foot's on the end of a leg. Amen? You know, this is a problem in the church. Everybody wants everybody to be the same. Everybody wants everybody to be the same, and we're not the same. I want you to kick out of some of these churches where they have these ministers. And all of the people training in those churches act and talk and dress just like the head honcho, the head minister. The most obvious is Ernest Angley. You ever seen Ernest Angley? He's a character. And he comes out on the platform, he got 10 or 12 miniature earnest angels following. They all talk the same, they all dress the same, they all say the same things. Billy Graham's another one. Cookie cutter Christians. Stamp them all out like Billy Graham. Whatever happened to trying to be like Jesus? Amen. And you know, it's a neat thing about Jesus, because Jesus will use you as you are, the way you are, with your own personality. He'll use your personality. He didn't tell you to change your personality. If it needs changing, he'll change it to what he wants. It's not my job to change it. Amen? Alright, you gotta learn, first of all, the body has to learn to accept itself. These gifts are not gonna flow freely in the body if the body hasn't learned to accept itself. Alright. Where am I? Verse 16. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Did I skip two? Well, I asked you where I was, and you didn't tell me. Yes, I did. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? Where have you been?
I don't know.
And the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And if the whole were smelling, how would he get somewhere? I mean, that's not written there, I just put that there. Yeah, right. Somebody come and leave a present back, it couldn't get out of the way. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased who? Him. Diversity of operations. God puts you in the church as it pleases Him. Now watch this. Here's another thing that's wrong in the churches today. Let's see if we can bring it to light a little bit. Most people run around to see what church they like. Huh? And what does that usually consist of? Who will agree with them the most? Who will make them feel good? Huh? Who will give them the glory they think they should have and the honor? Most people don't go to a church to find the church that's preaching the word. To them, it's a social club. Right? Here it says, what? What verse was that? But now hath God set the members. Who are the members? The people. Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. God puts you in a church that pleases Him. And He puts you there for you to learn what He knows you need. And not only that, He uses you to help them learn. And you know, a lot of preachers, when somebody comes in the church, it's a problem. The first thing they want to do is get rid of them. Do you ever stop to think that God might have sent that person there to help them get rid of a problem? They might have a problem. Sometimes God has people, and they're believers, and you just want to take a stick to them. But God will use those people to correct problems in the ministry or in the church. Then He'll fix their problem. Amen? And if you have a problem with somebody in your church, maybe you're the one with the problem. maybe they have a problem too. See, we're going to read a little further on when we get down the road a little bit. If you're where you belong, you wouldn't see the problem anyway. If you're where you belong, your eyes are going to be so much on Christ, you're not going to see their problem. Well, some people are like, what the world is he talking about? Well, trust me, we'll get there. All right? So God sets everybody in the church where it pleases him. That's diversity of operations. 19. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Now, as many times as he put that, as many different ways that he put it, do you get the idea it might be important? Mm-hmm. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, if I have no need of the eye of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Basically, what he's saying, we cover up those parts that need to be covered up. Amen? Do we protect one another that way in the church? Do we cover up those in the church that need covered? Do we treat them with more honor? Let's look at the next verse. We'll read verse 24 again. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered. Well, I didn't read that one yet. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body. What's a schism? Opening division. No division. How can the church operate as one body if there's division in it?
Can't.
Gotta have unity. Amen. Amen. But that the members should have the same care one for another. There are two commandments. As far as I'm concerned, there are two commandments of God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, body. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Look around you. Your neighbor is members of the body. Now, if everybody did that, where's the law? There's no need for it. Everybody loved one another. See, Paul was the apostle of the Philadelphia church. Church of brotherly love. He was the apostle of that. You love one another. That means prefer each other above yourself. If each person does that, where can there be division? The only time division comes in is when you love yourself more than someone else. Let's face it, we're not all the same. Some of us are prettier than others, some are not. But so what? Our church down in South Carolina, we got some members down there who could just drive you crazy. They talk so much. We got some others, we wish they would talk. But the truth is, they're all part of the body. And got to love them both. Amen? Alright. So one of the things is, if we're worshiping the Father by the Spirit and the Lord, Jesus Christ, then we're going to love one another and there will be no schism in the church. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. or one member being honored, all the members rejoice with it. Do you know that when there's schism in the church, all the members suffer because these will not work? Even if you have those gifts, if there be schism in the church, they will not operate. Why? The Father is the administrator. And just as he did with the children of Israel, when the children of Israel got into idolatry and got into rebellion, God pulled back his blessings. Remember, he did not take away his anointing from them. He never, ever took his anointing away from them, did he? But he pulled back the blessings. And when the church gets out of line, God pulls back the blessings. He doesn't take away the anointing. He pulls back the blessings. Amen? So it's important that we love one another and we serve the Lord and we have no divisions one with another and we treat each other as equal in the Lord. Amen? Alright, where am I? Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That means literally you are a member of the body of Christ. And God has set some. Now remember, what are we talking about in the first of this chapter?
Gifts
of the Holy Spirit. Right? I don't want you to be ignorant of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right?
Amen.
Now look what he says here. Look what he comes along with last in this chapter. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Now he's showing that there are gifts here that we didn't mention here. One of the gifts to the church are apostles. One of the gifts to the church are prophets. Amen? Thirdly, teachers. Now we're not talking about the line of authority over here in Ephesians chapter 4, is it? 4? Yeah, we're not talking about the line of authority in Ephesians chapter 4 where it says God gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Here we're talking about gifts to the church. Notice there's two he left out. He left out evangelists and pastors. See? Why? Why did he leave out the evangelists and pastors? Because they stay there. The evangelists and the pastors, they're the ones that do the work of the ministry.
They're part of the church.
They do the work of the ministry. You see, the apostles come in, set up the church, and sometimes come to straighten it out, sometimes come to work around it. Prophets come in and teach and give revelation of the Lord. And don't get this prophet mixed up with the gift of prophecy. See? The Lord could give Kim a gift of prophecy. That doesn't make her a prophet. See, we get these things confused. We get them mixed up. There is a gift of prophecy given to the church. that doesn't make that person a prophet. Or a prophetess. It simply gives them a gift of prophecy. And when we don't understand these things, then we get all kinds of confusion. Now, does a prophet have the gift of prophecy? Of course he does. Does a prophetess? Of course she does. But in the church body, these gifts are given out not to be confused with Ephesians 4 through 11. I mean 4:11. The gift of prophecy does not necessarily mean the person is a prophet. Alright? But here, he separates this, and that God has set some in the church first apostles. Here, first does mean first. But the whole of it is last. Which comes first? Huh? Now watch. Now I said some of the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets. Why? Because their job is to perfect the saints. To bring the saints to maturity. Alright? Thirdly, teachers. Do you know teachers are gifts? They teach you how to do things. Teach you how to learn. They edify the body. After that, miracles. Now you see, the gift of the apostle, the gift of the prophet, and the gift of the teacher is more important to God than the gift of miracles. Why is that? Why wouldn't miracles be more important than a teacher and a prophet and an apostle? Because your job is to learn to worship God the Father in spirit and truth. Jesus is the truth. Amen? So they are there. They are more important than miracles because God, yeah, He wants you to have miracles. But He wants you to have fellowship with Him. Where am I? Alright. Then gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. Then it helps. What are helps? How many remember 1 Timothy chapter 3? Likewise, if a man desires the office of a deacon, he desired the good work. Deacons and elders are ministries of helps. See? What Timmy back there is doing for us is a ministry of helps. By recording these things, somebody has to do it. I'm sure he'd rather be sitting down in a pew or in a chair, relaxing, but he's standing there, taping that, make sure things run right. John over here, he plays bass for us. Ministry of helps. So we all thought that was music. Well, music is a help. Frankie Jr. over here, standing here at the keyboard, wishing he could sit down. Ministry of helps. Y'all see how this works out? He's a gift to you. Without him, you wouldn't have the music. And anytime you don't want him, you let me know. I'll be glad to take him down to South Carolina with
you. Oh.
All they got for music is me. And that's scary. Right, Carrie?
You play good music.
Huh?
You play good music.
Well, yeah, but I have to say. And that's when I'm saying, I can do all right when I can take that mic up and hide under his voice. Amen? You ought to see me sometimes when I go to lead the singing, I can't find the note. Glory, 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 glory. It's up there somewhere, praise God, help me by glory, glory. And they laughed too. A couple of them cried. My wife buries her head in shame. And I get redder by the moment. But that's where the Lord's planted me, and I'm going to be glad in it. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to say, praise the Lord. And if you folks out there don't like it, then pray until He sends somebody that will sing. Amen? I'm teaching to pray. I'm giving some practice in prayer. Oh, Lord, send somebody, but Brother Davies is saved for us. Amen. All right. So, helps. Governments. Now, this isn't talking.